You're listening to The Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Parents, I'm excited to finish the series. We've been looking at this book by Paul Tripp, The 14 Gospel Principles of Parenting, and I've just kind of highlighted a few of the principles he talks about. I really encourage you to get the book and read through it with your spouse, with your small group, or just with a friend. But as we've learned every week, that he really describes that the role of us and our parenting is to point our kids to the gospel, to bring everything to this place where we're pointing our kids to recognize that they're a sinner in need of a savior. And that as parents, like, we're ambassadors, we represent God. We want to represent the heart of God that's gracious and merciful, but also sets boundaries for us that are for our good and for our safety. You know, as parents that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, that we're not just supposed to be lawgivers, that we don't just demand performance from our kids or just make a list of rules and not shepherd their heart, not help our kids understand why the rules are there, that it isn't just behavior modification. It really is getting our kids to understand that they're broken, just like we're broken as parents, and we all need the saving work, the new heart that we get when we put our faith in Jesus. You know, parents, we also were challenged to just remember that our identity as parents is not in our kids, that we don't force our kids to perform and to be a certain thing to make us feel good about parents, that we also have to recognize that parenting is a process, that we don't just have one conversation and then our kids are just magically wonderful and mature and amazing. Like, it's a process. It's constant conversation. It's constant, like, as a behavior needs to be challenged or brought to the attention, that it's not just stop doing that or here's your punishment, but rather teaching your kids from God's word why that's not healthy, why that's not good, and how God wants us to be instead. So it's constant conversation. It's tiring. I admit it, parents. I think parenting is the hardest job in the world if you want to do it intentionally and you want to do it well. Last time we talked about the idea of authority. We talked about how our kids need to understand that ultimately it's God's authority, but as they're learning God's authority, they're learning our authority as their parents, that they're to obey us. And there's reasons for that. Again, that rules and boundaries are set up for our good, and that's how God is with us as well. So as they learn obedience to us as parents, ultimately then that's going to transfer to them wanting to be obedient to God, because they've seen as parents that we've represented love and clarity and boundaries that are for our good, and they then in turn see God as that kind of parent to them ultimately. Today, I just want to end with a couple of these other principles. I have not covered all of them in this series, so that's why I really encourage you to go read the book, because he gives way more information than I'm giving here. Today, we're going to end with a couple of principles that he mentions, and I have not covered all the principles in the book. That's why I really encourage you to go buy the book and to go through it, because he goes into more depth. But I wanted to end today in this series on the two principles of false gods and rest. So the principle of false gods says this: you are parenting a worshiper, so it's important to remember what rules your child's heart will control his behavior. Here's what he says in the book. Worship is that inner desire for wonder, amazement, and awe that every human being possesses. It's that craving to be fulfilled. It's that constant search for life. It's wanting personal meaning and purpose. It's the drive to look to someone or something to give you identity. It's that universal hunger for inner peace. It's that lifelong hunt for God. So parents, it's good for us to think about how we're leading our kids, what we're emphasizing in the home, how we're walking with our kids to discover their identity and their value and what brings them comfort, that we don't elevate the false gods, that we point our kids that ultimately their value and worth and purpose is going to come through relationship with Jesus. So I want to explore that a little bit, because like he says, we all have this innate desire for meaning and for purpose and identity. I'm sure you can remember that when you were in elementary school or going into junior high. Like, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be good at something. We all want to have like the group that we belong to. And that's true for our kids. So parents, we have to lead our kids not towards the little g gods, the things that our culture is going to say, here, chase these things. This is what's going to give you value and worth, but rather to say, guys, that's not where your ultimate value comes from. You need to worship the Creator, capital C, the one who made you specifically and special and not to chase after the things the world's going to put and dangle in front of them. So let's just talk about that for a minute. What are some of those false gods, the little g gods that we might be encouraging our kids to worship, or our kids are worshiping and we need to step in and help them realize those are not worth chasing? So for example, sports. If you look at your, you know, we've talked about this on other topics on Pursue God. If you took a time budget of your family, what gets most of your time and attention? What gets most of your financial investment? Is it sports? Is it comp teams? Is it traveling sports? I mean, what is it? So we have to just pay attention. Like with our kids, they might be blessed with great athletic prowess. That's awesome. But they can easily start to think that's the main thing about them. They just spend all of their time working on drills, getting better at things, wanting to be the best on the court or on the field. And that becomes the ultimate thing in their life. And as parents, we can feed that. We can be a part of that. We've talked about that in an earlier episode. Sports can be a false god that we're all bowing down to, especially if the family is like, you know, all in on this. And every conversation you have is about how they performed in the last game, what they need to do next time. You know, you're traveling for different tournaments and you don't have time for anything else. Now, the next one would be like friends and popularity, especially for our late elementary into junior high. It's just this pull to want to be accepted, to want to be popular, to want to have the likes on social media. And we can kind of make that the ultimate thing, that your kid's always on their phone or, you know, trying to keep up on their social media apps and making sure they're not missing out on things. And so then that can become something that they worship. Like that's where they find their real value and worth, is that somebody else accepts them or the popular group accepts them. And again, parents, we can fall into that too. If we want our kids to be popular and accepted, that we'll just go out of our way to do things like, you know, maybe it's bringing food to school because that's what the popular kids would want. And so we're like, sure, whatever it takes for my kid to be accepted there, or to give in on maybe a conviction you've had on a movie, but your daughter comes to you and is like, you know, the cool group is having a party this weekend and they're going to watch this movie and I have to be there. I'm not accepted. And that as parents, we might give in to that and say, oh, fine. Bowing down to the god of popularity and being accepted, I'll say, go watch this movie, even though in my heart of hearts, I know it's not good for you. The content wouldn't be good for you. For some, it might just be the performance and success, that it's about getting straight A's. It's about being, you know, student of the month or student of the year and getting on the high honor roll, whatever that is. And that can become a false god too, of where our kids are getting their value and worth is how they perform. And then again, as parents, it might be that we are giving more affirmation to those things, that we are inadvertently or maybe purposefully are kind of elevating that. Like that's the most important thing, that you are smart, that you're the best, that you're the highest performer. And it's all about what you're accomplishing, the awards you're getting, the grades you're getting. And so again, these are all false gods that we can bow down to, or our kids are being encouraged to bow down to in this culture. The last one is comfort and entertainment. You know, I just see this more and more with anxiety and depression on the rise, that we can elevate comfort and entertainment, whether it's video games or our Netflix shows or endless scrolling on social media, as a way to avoid maybe the stress or the things that our kids are feeling. And so we elevate whatever it takes for you to be happy. If that means sitting in your room playing video games all day, that we elevate that god of comfort, so to speak, or needing to be entertained as the most important thing, or that somehow gives value and worth that you can escape, right, parents? And again, we can feed that by giving into our kids or allowing that to be something that's more important than anything else. So those are just a couple examples of the false gods. And again, like he says in the principle, what rules your child's heart is what will control their behavior. So again, coming back to this gospel idea that if what's in our kids' hearts is being fed, or the things that are being elevated are these things that culture would say are important, then that's going to start to come out in how they behave and what they care about. And as parents, then, we have to make sure we're pointing them back in the direction of what is the ultimate source of our identity and of our self-worth. It's pointing them to Jesus. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have life to the full." See, parents, we have to be convinced of that so that we can lead our kids to that following Jesus leads to a full life because he is the creator. He knows how we're designed and what we're supposed to do and how he set this whole thing in motion. So when we chase after the things the world has to offer, that's what the enemy, the thief, is coming to steal, to kill, destroy, because the truth is none of those false gods ever bring us true happiness because it's not being met in that God-shaped hole, so to speak, that we have in our heart. So we need to start with understanding that as parents, that Jesus has come to give us a full life, more than performance, more than popularity, more than being the all-star athlete. Life in Jesus is more important than anything else. Psalm 139 speaks to this even more. Verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Parents, like to remind your kids that the creator of the universe made them purposefully, with intention, with skills, with abilities, and with a plan for their life. So the better thing to chase is the capital G God, not the little g gods that are not going to bring true satisfaction, but to chase after the creator who knows every hair on their head and knows every day of their life and cares about the plans that he has for our kids. So you might be wondering, okay, principally, I can get on board with that. I get that I don't want to be worshiping false gods, and I certainly don't want my kids to do that. So how do you combat that? Like, what's the practical application of this principle then as parents? So here's just a couple things that I would say. When we look at the little g gods, how can we turn those things into directing those towards a relationship with the Lord? So, for example, if your kid is the all-star on the field and they do have great success in athletics, that's awesome. But I think what you should say is, you know what? This is really cool that God's given you this gift. Let's thank God for the abilities that he's given you, but let's make sure that we're not letting that, your performance on the field or you being the star, to be the ultimate thing that defines you, but turn it to God gave you those abilities. So how can you honor God on the field or on the court this week? Just little things that you just kind of switch it from being about focusing on them and their abilities and like, wow, isn't that cool that God gave you those abilities? How can you use that to bring honor to him? What that means about how you respond when the ref calls the foul, or, you know, how you are as a teammate, or how you respond to your coach. You know, if it's about the popularity and being accepted, that if you are a popular, if your kid is the popular kid, to say, gosh, that's really cool that God's given you this gift with people, that you have charisma, that you have this thing that people are drawn to. How can we use that to point people to Jesus? How can you be the ambassador of Christ to your friends? How can you represent God's character to your friends, right? To turn it from being like, oh, look at me, I'm this great special person because I'm well-liked, but rather to say, gosh, God's given you a special ability with people. How can you use that to show love and respect and honor? For the kids that aren't accepted by the popular crowd, teach them, you know, with the golden rule, like go find the friends that are going to treat you the way you want to be treated. Like, we don't need to chase after the popular crowd and that's the way we feel valued or worthwhile. Just say, no, that's okay. Let them be that. We're going to go find friends that are going to be uplifting and encouraging and see the value in you and treat you the way you want to be treated. If it's the performance stuff, I think it's so good just to remind our kids, like in the economy of God, we do not come to him offering anything. Our performance means nothing. Our righteous acts are filthy rags to him. We come to God and say, I'm broken, and he gives us the gift of life and forgiveness and grace. So to be able to remind our kids, like, this isn't about performance. This isn't about, in order to be accepted or have value, you have to be a straight A student, because in God's economy, none of that matters to him. What matters is a heart of humility that says, I'm broken and I need a savior. So pointing your kids to that gospel message, reminding them that it's not about performance. And then I think with the comfort thing, I personally think it would be great for families that instead, like, it's okay to have your video game time, but I would say you're setting limits on that. And then as a family, say, you know what? instead of just filling our time with comfort and making that the ultimate thing in our home of like, I can't wait to, you know, after dinner is my social media scrolling time, or I go play video games for 2 hours, or we're watching our Netflix shows, to say, you know what? Before we do any of those things, we're going to have family devotional times. We're going to serve at our church or in our community, and find some structure in your week where the first thing you don't think about is comfort, that you don't elevate that over things. Like, be purposeful as a family. Serve people. Show your kids from a young age. Like, that's part of how God designed us, to be in community, to serve one another, to be there for one another. So if we're not ever putting ourselves in a place to be used or to serve, then we're just missing out on so much. So those are just some of the practical ways I think you could turn the false gods into, how do we direct our kids to, like, those things are fine, but they're not ultimate. And ultimately, God designed you for a purpose and a plan, and Jesus has promised a rich and satisfying life. So what we need to do is direct our lives towards the Lord and let Him decide what matters. Let Him decide the plan for our life, because He already has it. Okay, so parents, just to end this plane, I just wanted to end with the principle of rest. And here's what it says. It is only rest in God's presence and grace that will make you a joyful and patient parent. And man, oh man, is that something that I needed to remember when we were in the more intense parenting years. There were many times that I would not say I was joyful. Definitely times I was not patient. But here's what he says in the book. What I mean is that in the middle of all the busyness and confusion, without knowing it, you've forgotten who you are, you've forgotten who God is, and you've forgotten what you've been given. And because you've forgotten, you're shouldering burdens that you were never meant to carry, and you're defeated by your inadequacy. So parents, I just want to end today, you know, if this series has been helpful, reading through this book, I think will be super helpful to just change the mindset, or to get out of the mindset of like, parenting is too hard, I'm exhausted, I don't know what to do, or, you know, this culture is just beating my kid up and there's just no hope, to redirect to the Lord that you have been given your kids to be the ambassador that leads them to Jesus. Like, God gave these kids to you, so we have to get in the game. We have to be willing to do the things we need to do to raise our kids, to shepherd their hearts, to want to know Jesus on their own. Here in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says here, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. I think sometimes as parents, we need to remember that. God cares about us. I know that parenting is hard. I know it can be frustrating. I'm having more and more conversations with parents where it breaks my heart, the things kids are being confronted with in school, the bullying, just the social media, just the rot that's creating, and just the comparison culture and all of that. But parents, I think we need to rest in our purpose in parenting that God has given us, and remembering that He is going to give us what we need to get the job done. He didn't just say, hey, good luck to you. He's going to give us the grace. He's going to give us the patience. He's going to give us the wisdom and the insight to know what to do. Some of my favorite words Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light. So parents, that's what I just want to end with today, is just the encouragement that you have access to the God of the universe, who wants to walk with you in this journey of parenting. And that instead of you feeling like the burden is on you to have all the answers, that you have to have all the control here, that you just release it and say, God, you've given me these kids. These are a gift from you. I need to just rest in your wisdom, and I need to listen and follow your lead, because you've already have a plan for my kids. And I want to stop getting in the way of that. I want to stop going on these detours that was not part of your plan. And I just want to trust you and walk with you every day, and trust that you'll give me what I need when we're confronted by different things that are going to come at our kids. And ultimately, remember, just like we're driving our kids to want to know a personal relationship with Jesus, that we need to keep fostering that, parents, in our own hearts, that we need to give up our fears and our anxieties and give them to the Lord, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So parents, let's trust in God's strength. Let's rely on His wisdom. Let's not be fearful. Let's remember who we are in Christ and what we're leading our kids toward, to shepherd our kids to want to know Jesus themselves. And let's let God do the leading. Let's let his plan play out. And let's be the ambassadors that he's called us to be, to lead our kids toward what he has for them. I hope this has been encouraging. You might need to listen to this a couple times or over the course of a few years. You know, maybe if you're early in the parenting journey, this is kind of good to keep in mind. But man, when you hit the elementary age and into junior high, these principles are going to be really important, and it's better to start now by laying that foundation, understanding your role as a parent and leading your kids, pointing them to Jesus in every single situation will yield wonderful fruit. And my prayer is just that you will trust in the Lord and lay your burdens at his feet, because he is offering you rest and he's offering you purpose.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.